In the early 1960s, comedian Lenny Bruce was a culture war all on his own. He'd been warned by a judge to keep an obscene word out of his act, so the warning itself became part of the act.
I swear to he didn't what he say, Your Honor, he said blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yented it up. That's right. I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women in a mixed audience saying blah, blah, blah. The judge, this I never heard, blah, blah, blah. Said blah, blah, blah. He said blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's in the minutes. I'm not going to lie to you. All right. The DA. The guy said blah, blah, blah. Look at him. He's smug. He's not going to repent. Then they dug something. They sort of like saying blah, blah, blah. Because they said it a few extra times.
In later performances, Bruce refused to shy away from using the word in question, and in 1964 he was convicted on the charge of giving an obscene performance. Today, New York Governor George Pataki granted Lenny Bruce a posthumous pardon for that conviction. Nat Hentoff joins us now. He knew Lenny Bruce back in New York. He's now a syndicated columnist and author of The War on the Bill of Rights and The Gathering Resistance. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a great day, a great surprising day. I never thought George Pataki cared.
Well, refresh our memories about the charges about Bruce and his trial. You testified.
Yeah, well, the trial was conducted by a prosecutor from the district attorney's office. The DA at the time, Frank Hogan, was much obsessed with Lenny Bruce. He thought Lenny's bit about Christ and Moses coming back to earth, going through East Harlem, where they saw 40 Puerto Ricans living in one room, and then going to St. Pat's Cathedral, and there was Cardinal Spellman wearing a ring, said Moses, that cost about $10,000. So Hogan wanted to get him. And a licensing inspector caught Lenny's act at the Café Ogogo and took notes and then performed the act in a mumbling fashion in court. And poor Lenny kept saying to the judge, John Murtaugh, let me do my own act. I'm being busted and convicted for somebody else doing my act. They wouldn't let him do it. I testified, among many others, for Lenny, and the prosecutor, Dick Hugh, said to me, is it not true, sir, that you wrote a book praising a man who had advocated draft resistance and had gone over a missile defense base in Nevada? I said, yes, I did. His name was A.J. Musty, and he was the man who turned Martin Luther King into nonviolence. It was that kind of trial. So this is not only a posthumous vindication of Lenny, but the first posthumous pardon in the history of New York State, which is rather amazing. Poor Lenny, he was, I've written a lot about the First Amendment, talked to judges, lawyers, etc. I've never known anybody so immersed in the First Amendment. When I'd see him at a hotel in the village during the trial, every possible surface, the floor, the walls, the sink, was covered with law books, law briefs, etc. He was convinced the Supreme Court would redeem him. And so it has, but a little late.
He didn't take the conviction very well, did he?
Well, he knew what was going to happen to him. He said to me during the trial, if I get convicted in New York City, which is like the citadel of free speech in the nation, what other club owner is going to hire me? They'll figure that they'll get busted and I'll get busted. So after the conviction, he got very few gigs. And toward the end, they were shutting off his gas and electricity. And I was told afterwards that they were threatening to foreclose his mortgage and he'd lose his home. So his prediction was quite accurate.
Nat Hentoff, I know you're on deadline, but we have a couple more questions for you. Can you hang on till
after
the break? Okay. Nat Hentoff will hang on with us. We'll continue talking about the posthumous pardon issued today by Governor George Pataki of the state of New York for Lenny Bruce for his conviction for obscenity some years ago. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In just a moment, we're going to switch subjects and talk about newly released statistics that show that the teenage birth rate continues to drop. We'll talk about why, and we'd like your calls about that at 800-989-8255. But let's continue our conversation with syndicated columnist Nat Hentoff, a friend of the late Lenny Bruce, about the news today that New York Governor George Pataki has issued a posthumous pardon for the famous comedian. And as you were going through his story, after his conviction back in the early 60s on obscenity charges, District Attorney Frank Hogan and the Assistant Prosecutor Richard Kiewit, who tried to succeed him and failed in the attempt. But Lenny took it hard and was unable to get gigs after that. He died at the age of 37.
He got a few gigs, and even then he was using his conviction and the court record as his act, and he made it funny, although he wasn't feeling very amused by it. He could turn almost... There was a wonderful dialogue between him and his mother. She herself was a performer, and he said to her, "You know, Mother, I am not a comedian." "Really? Why not?" "Well, have you ever heard of a comedian who gets arrested all the time?" He came to expect it because he knew that what he was trying to do, as he used to say, was take the covers off. He saw a lot of hypocrisy in our life and various dimensions of it, and part of it was the use of language. He says people do things, but they don't want to use the words, so let's open the windows.
Well, those words have become perhaps too common today.
I would agree with that, yes, especially among politicians.
Well, now, there's been a long effort to gain this pardon. Why is it so important to so many people?
It's essentially symbolic. Floyd Abrams, who was probably the leading First Amendment litigator in the country, signed one of the petitions. It's symbolic because it does focus on the fact that in 1964, and this is what the pardon is all about, the law then was unconstitutional. Sure, things have changed now. There have been Supreme Court decisions. In fact, if you've noticed, in recent years, the court has not even taken obscenity cases. But Lenny, by being convicted on a law that was clearly against free speech, opened the door for Chris Rock, for Richard Pryor, for a whole legion of comedians, or humorists, however you want to call them. And so the posthumous pardon is useful because there are many people, like somebody called me today from a radio station and said, tell me a little more about Lenny Bruce. Did you ever know him? A lot of people don't remember him, and perhaps now, because of the attention given to the pardon, we'll have a somewhat revivification of the importance of the First Amendment.
I know you're on deadline. Have you written your lead for tomorrow's column yet?
Oh, I'm writing about another First Amendment problem, and that is how McCain-Feingold and the Supreme Court have largely abused the First Amendment rights of those of us who are not millionaires by having these issue ads forbidden during the most important part of the election cycle, 30 to 60 days before the election.
Well,
so much for reform.
Another subject for another day. Nat Hentoff, thank you very much for being with us and for remembering Lenny Bruce with us.
Thank you.
Syndicated columnist Nat Hentoff joining us from his office in New York City. Again, if you joined us late, George Pataki, the governor of New York, issued a posthumous pardon today for Lenny Bruce for his obscenity conviction so many years ago.